Hello, you are listening to the teaching of Dr. Tony Evans. This sermon is entitled The Priority of Prayer and is from the series The Lord's Prayer. Discover what God has to say to you through His Word, found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, which says, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Enjoy the message.
The next principle in this prayer that the Lord gave His disciples to teach them how to pray is the priority of prayer. He says in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6, after talking about God's program, Thy kingdom come, He then goes on to tell them, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, please don't misread it because it's easy to misread. It does not say, my will be done. It says, thy will be done. The concern of the Lord's Prayer, if you're going to fulfill God's program, is to surrender or to submit to God's priority. And God's priority is always His will. God, what is it that you want to do so that I can leave the ramp of my life and get onto the highway of your direction? The idea of praying for the will of God is not asking God to slow down so you can get on the highway. It is adjusting to God, who is already on that highway, and you are trying to merge into His will. He's not trying to merge into yours. Now, when we say God's will, we simply mean what God wants, when God wants it, how God wants it. Now, that's a great struggle because most people want their will. Most of our time in prayer is spent saying, Lord, this is what I plan to do. Bless it. It is an attempt to get God's okay on our plan. Well, you will notice up until this point in the prayer, you haven't come up yet. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and now your will be done. Now, this thing of God's will is fairly deep. To discuss the will of God is not to discuss a light topic. Some people who have dabbled with the will of God and God's desire, His design, His plan, some are frustrated about it. In fact, downright resentful. God to them seems like a cosmic dictator. And since He's going to do what He wants to do anyway, it doesn't matter what I think. Others are simply resigned to it. They say what will be, and they are somewhat fatalistic, as though they have no participation in it, because like the Muslim, Allah wills, whatever will be, will be. What do we mean about God's will or God's purposes? That's what we mean by God's will. What God wants, when God wants it, how God wants it, that's God's will. What we have to understand about God's will, since the prayer is, Thy will be done, that's what we're praying, is that God's will has a number of aspects to it. Let me talk about what I would call the three key aspects to the will of God. The first aspect we'll call God's comprehensive will. By God's comprehensive will, we simply mean nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, catches God by surprise. There's no such thing as, God, did you see that? God is never caught by surprise. Everything that happens, happens underneath His cosmic plan or His comprehensive program, that is God's will. Now, God either causes it to happen or allows it to happen, but He's never shocked that it happened. Now, that shows you how great God is. If God is so broad that nothing happens anywhere at any time that ever catches Him by shock or surprise, He must be a brilliant being. Because look at all the billions of things that happen in the world in one day. Not to think hundreds and thousands of years. God's will is comprehensive. Isaiah 14:24 lets us know that that nothing catches God by surprise. Everything is under his control. And that's because he's sovereign over the universe. He's king. No surprises. That's God's comprehensive will. No chances. No Christian ever has to use the word luck as part of their vocabulary. There are no chances. There are no mistakes because God's will is comprehensive. But the second aspect of God's will is that it is also compassionate. It's not only comprehensive, it is compassionate. Now, what do I mean? When we say God's will is compassionate, we're saying that sometimes God desires things that does not take place. For example, God desires that everyone would be saved, 2 Peter 3, but everyone's not going to be saved. God desires that all Christians are spiritual, but not every Christian is going to be spiritual. Jesus looked over Israel and he says in Luke chapter 13, he says, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her little one, but you would not. When we talk about God's compassionate will, we're talking about the fact that God desires things that do not take place. And the reason that they do not take place is because in his compassionate will, in his compassionate will, he allows choice. He may desire one way, but because he has not made us robots, but has made us beings, we can choose his way or go another way. Now, let me tell you something about the compassionate will as tied into the comprehensive will. If in his compassionate will, he gives you his desire, but you choose not to go his way, that never messes up his comprehensive will. All right? In other words, your choices never stop him. Your choices may mess you up, but they never interfere with him. All right? They may bless you, they may curse you, but they never interfere with his will. I'll illustrate what I mean in a moment. The third aspect of God's will I will call God's command will. These are specific things that are commanded by God, primarily for Christians, in order to be the full beneficiaries of the positive benefits of God's program in your life. So the commands are that which God instructs us to do in order for us to be online with where he wants to take us. Now, don't get me wrong. You'll never stop his program, but you may stop your enjoyment of his program. Let me illustrate what I mean. Let's say I'm going downtown Dallas tonight. And if I'm going downtown Dallas from our church, that means I'm going to get on Highway 35 to take me downtown Dallas because I want to go downtown. That's my goal. But let's say that as I'm making my way to downtown Dallas, the highway is backed up. There's construction or there's an accident that interferes with me reaching my goal of going downtown Dallas. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to get off on Illinois. I'm going to turn right on Illinois and take it all the way down, and it will deposit me in South Dallas. I will then root around South Dallas and make my way downtown Dallas. The accident may have interfered with my preferential route, but it does not interfere with my goal. Now, if I turn right and they're getting in my way, I'm going to turn back left. And when I turn back left, I'm going to take Illinois over to Jefferson, turn right on Jefferson down to the Jefferson Street Bridge that crosses me over to the Reunion Arena area that will also get me downtown. So if they block me on 35 and they block me going through South Dallas, I have another route that I can take to get me to my same destination. God's comprehensive will means when he's going downtown, he's going to get downtown. All right? When he has determined his ultimate goal, he will always reach that goal. Now, if human beings or the devil himself create a block in God's plan to get to God's goal, God is never limited to one highway. He is never limited to one route. Now, you know why that's good news about the will of God? That means folk can't stop the will of God for you. It means the devil can't stop the will of God for you. It means when Satan shows up, you're trying to live for the Lord, you're trying to please the Lord, and Satan shows up and they say, what happened? Satan blocked my path. No, all he created was a detour, but God has more than one highway. He never is limited to one highway. And that's why you never have to be intimidated what people can do to interfere with what you thought. I thought God had this for me. Trust me. If God has that for you and you're operating on his command will, nobody can have that but you. You say, where does the Bible teach that? Well, have you ever read Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect, the word perfect means unstoppable, will of God. So when you're saying, thy will be done, and you get on and you say, Lord, your will be done, you're saying, Lord, take me where you want me to go and show me which detour to take if something gets in the way. So God's will is awesome. It is perfect in every detail. Now, this is very important. 2 Samuel 22:31, Psalm 18:30, talk about the perfection of God's will. His will is perfect. That means that if your will comes in conflict with God's will, you always choose God. Why? Because all you see is what you see. All God sees is what he sees. Now, who has the better eyesight? That's the question. All you see is what you see. All God sees is what he sees. Now, who's got the better vision here? God's way is perfect. The reason that we pray thy will be done is because he has already taken into consideration the unseen elements. And that's why we say, now, Lord, this is what I think you want me to do today. These are my plans today, but not my will. Thy will be done, because you may see some stuff that my eyes have not seen yet. And I want you to bring that to bear on my prayer today. In other words, I'm on the ramp and I see the traffic. I'm going to merge into you, not ask you to merge into me. So what God wants is us to merge into him, because his will is perfect. Thy will be done. That's the concept of God's will. When you follow the commands, you enjoy the benefits of his comprehensive plan. Now, let me give you an illustration of the opposite. If you don't follow his commands, then you don't enjoy his compassion, the benefits of his comprehensive plan. Let me give you an illustration. Remember Jonah? He didn't like God's plan. So he got on a boat going 2,000 miles in the wrong direction. He said, I don't like your plan. It don't make sense to me. You should be wanting to kill these folk, not save them. I'm getting on a boat going to Tarshish. I'm not getting on any boat, any ship, any camel going to Nineveh. So he goes out of the will of God, gets comfortable there. He sleeps on the boat. The Bible says, and God sent a storm. Storm shook up the boat. Now watch this. Many people read the story of Jonah and miss this point. The men had to throw all their goods overboard because of the storm. Jonah is on the ship and they ask him, whose God are you? We need somebody to talk to their God to get us out of this mess. Well, Jonah says, let me explain why we're in this mess. We're in this mess because I disobeyed God and I didn't follow God and I you know, all on and on and on and on and on. And now watch this. It says at the end of chapter 1, that after they found out that this was because of Jonah, two things happened. Jonah got thrown overboard. God sent a whalegram to pick him up. But here's what else happened. It says, and the men on the ship believed on his God. Now watch this. Jonah ran from God's will in the opposite direction. God still used Jonah to lead people to Christ, even in his own rebellion. There will be people in heaven Jonah never knew that he led to God, because they didn't actually believe in God till after he got thrown overboard. He gonna meet them in heaven and say, who are y'all? We were the guys on the boat who threw you over. What y'all doing here? Y'all were pagans. Oh, when we saw how your God came after you, we believed in him. That's how sovereign God is. His program, God needed a witness. He was going to use a carnal preacher. Just like Jonah won't get any credit for their salvation. That's the concept. Now, let me say a word about the conflict. The conflict of God's will. The mere fact we have to pray, thy will be done, means that it is possible for us not to do it. That's why we have to pray it. Because our wills are in conflict with his will. Now, you have to understand why this conflict exists. Isaiah 14 explains it. Let me summarize it for you. That's the rebellion of Satan. Five times Satan used the phrase, I will. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. The summary of it is, I will not follow you, and what I will do is build my own program, build my own kingdom, but basically I'm gonna do my own thing. I don't wanna be under you, God. I don't wanna have to follow you, God. I don't wanna have to leave my ramp and merge into your program. I'm tired of your will. I want my will. Now that was Satan. Now, Satan didn't just do that for himself. He did that with one third of the angels. So that one third of the angels said, I will, in opposition to God. But look, he didn't only do it with himself. He didn't only do it with his angels. He did it with Adam and Eve. I will not obey God regarding the tree in the middle of the garden. I will do my thing regarding the tree in the garden. I will eat. When there is the I wills, there is a battle over volition. We have to pray thy will be done because the pride in us and the attack of Satan and the worldliness around us rebels against the will of God. It does not want the will of God. And if you never struggled with your will versus God's will, you ain't saved. You're not a Christian. Because any Christian is going to battle over what they want and what God wants. Any Christian that doesn't have that battle is because they don't have the two wills at work. You can't have the two wills at work and that not be a battle. Your will informed by the evil one and God's will. The question on the floor of the conflict is God's will perfect or not? Does God know what he's doing or not? So there is a conflict. There is a battle. Don't feel bad that you're in a battle. God is the one who put the tree in the midst of the garden to see whose will we would submit to. That was the question in the garden. And you and I face it every day, don't we? We're tempted by the devil to yield to him our will rather than to yield to God. And you know why? There's one fundamental reason why. We're not really sure we trust God. I'm not sure, God, if I do this your way, you know what you're doing. I know what the Bible says. I can quote the scripture. I can sing the hymns. Your will is perfect. Your strength is perfect. All of that's perfect. But in the real world, God, where real people live, I am not absolutely positive you know what you're talking about. But this will over here feels good. This will over here tastes good. This will over here is a lot of fun. So I want this will. Let me tell you about the devil, by the way, just in case you didn't know it. When he tells you his will, so that you make your choice based on his will, he very rarely up front tells you the consequences. He wants you to find them out for yourself. He wants you to find this out for yourself. God's will always have taken in all the possibilities. In fact, God is the only one in the universe who can answer the question, watch this, what if? You know, we always ask that question, what if I woulda? What if I went there? What if I married them? What if? Those are questions you can't answer. You want to talk about one of the biggest waste of times? Asking yourself, what if? All right? Okay? Because nobody knows questions of potential. Nobody is that brilliant. They know the what if questions. God is the only one who can answer the question, what if? Since he's the only one who can answer the question, what if? The issue is, do we trust him enough to give our will to his will, thy will be done? Because he knows the things I am totally unaware of. Thirdly, the concern of God's will. This priority of prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To put it another way, God's concern in our praying is that earth reflects heaven. That's the prayer. Thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Now the question is, how is it done in heaven so that I might know how it ought to be done on earth? Well, to summarize, God's will in heaven is done quickly. That's why when Isaiah was up there, he saw the angels with six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. That was moving at a moment's notice. God's will is done immediately. There is no discussion in heaven about God's will. There is no debating in heaven about God's will. The only person who ever debated doesn't live there anymore. In heaven, there is immediate conformity to the will of God. So it is immediate. Another aspect of God's will in heaven is that it is absolute. There is no other will there. So in heaven, they move quickly and they move comprehensively. They completely do what God wants done. In heaven, that's why, you know, Isaiah went and when he saw what was happening up there, he said, woe is me. Because I don't function that way. I debate for weeks whose will I'm going to follow. I'm not quick to do it. I don't say, God said, bam. We know what made Jesus great? He never failed to do what the Father wanted, even when he had to sweat over it. The Garden of Gethsemane, you remember? Blood flowing, sweat flowing like blood. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't like it. So let me tell you up front, all of God's will you won't like. That was true for Jesus too. I don't want this cross. If there's another way we can do this, heart attack, I'll take that. Not this cross. If there's another way, let this cup of suffering, pass from me. But in the next phrase he said, but you have taken into consideration all the elements, not my will. But thy will be done. So you can tell God what you want as long as you submit to what he wants. To put it another way, saints, prayer is not a means of getting man's will done in heaven. It's a means of getting God's will done on earth. You hear that? It's not a way of getting your will done up there, which is generally how most people pray. The purpose of prayer is to get his will done down here. His goal is not blessing your earthly plan. His joy is giving you heaven's plan for you to execute on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done down here from up there. You know, they show you in a football game, these offensive and defensive coordinators, sitting in these booths up top, looking down over the field, calling plays down to the people on the field so that they execute the play. Why? Because from up there, you see more. That's why the coordinators never sit down there, because then they're on the same field of play with everybody else. They sit up there because they can see more. God says, when you pray, pray, Lord, because you can see more, because you up there. I submit to your will down here because I can't see everything. I can't see all the movements of the other team. I can't see all that's going on. So because you see the whole ball of wax, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what does this mean practically in prayer? It means that you can't ask for anything that would dishonor his name, delay his kingdom, or disturb his will on earth. You can't pray, our Father who art in heaven, let me do something, bless something now that's going to mess up your name. You can't pray, my kingdom come, even though it's in opposition to your kingdom. You can't pray, Lord, this won't fulfill your will, but bless it anyway. You can't pray that, because your prayer is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The angels, the Bible says in Psalm 103:20, perform his work. That is, they do his will. Now that leads to one final point. What do I get out of this deal? If I go this way, because this is a different way, because usually I get on my knees and say, Lord, bless me this, bless me that, bless me this, bless me that, bless me that. I don't get on my knees and say, Lord, show me what your program is so that I can do your will. What's the payoff? Well, let me give you one payoff that's right in the psalm itself. After you do the first three, you get the next three. And the next three have to do with you. Give me today my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses. Lead me not into temptation. When you do your will, you get your own bread. Hello? When you do your will, you take care of your own debts. When you do your will, protect yourself. But when you do my name, my kingdom, and my will, now you can say, give me, give me, give me. Because God is always going to give you more than you need to cover what he wants from you. Okay? Now look at what he says. Turn your Bible to 1 John, a great verse you should memorize. Chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14. This is what it says. And this is the confidence which we have before him. The confidence. I mean, show enough praying. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, let's stop right there. That's the sermon right there. He says, you ever pray and you're not sure whether it's getting through? He said, you don't have to pray like that no more. He says, by this we have the confidence. The assurance, we know it, show enough know it, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the first thing you have to know is if you're praying the Lord's prayer and get to the part, not thy will be done, and you really mean it, even though you talk about what you want and what you don't want, you really mean more than my desire, I want your will, he wants you to know. First of all, that prayer didn't hit the ceiling and bounce down. That got ears open in heaven. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, because we ask it based on his will, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, this is a powerful promise, folks. He says, if my will is your concern, he hears. And he doesn't just hear because he feels like listening to voices. He hears that your will is his concern. And since his will is his concern, you have what you asked for. Boy, there's so many illustrations of this. Moses said, I want to see your face. I want to see, I'm tired of hearing all this stuff. I want to see you eyeball to eyeball. God said, Moses, you can't do that and live. You will die if I show you my unprotected glory. However, I know what's behind that request. You want to know me at another level. I can't give you what you asked for because it would kill you, and you're not asking me to die today. Okay? That's not what you're asking. You're saying, show me you at a deeper level. So I'm not going to watch this, give you what you ask, but I'm going to give you what you want. You ask to see my face. Can't do that. But you want to see my glory, to enter into a deeper level with me, I can give you that. See, sometimes we ask God, we don't know what we're talking about. Because if he gave it to us, it'd mess us up, make us worse. But when he knows what we want is what he wants, he not only hears it, he grants it. He grants it. The question is, do we trust him? Do we trust him enough? A great illustration of this in church history is Martin Luther. Martin Luther, of course, led the Reformation. And he had a co-worker named Frederick Marconis. Frederick Marconis was dying. He was dying. Any minute, he would have been dead. Martin Luther wrote him these words. Frederick, I have need of thee for the Reformation. I have asked God to spare thee thy life, not simply because I want you to live, but because, Frederick, the movement that God has started has need of you. So I am confident that God will hear and answer my prayer. Frederick Marconis, on his deathbed, received the correspondence from Martin Luther. He read and said to God, thy will be done. And from that moment on, a miraculous turnaround took place in the life of Frederick Marconis. And the end of the story is, he outlived Luther by 2 months. Because he said, God's program, his kingdom, hath need of you. And that is why I pray. Whenever you can mix into your prayer something God's going to get out of it, you're in a lot better shape with that prayer. Most of our prayers are, what am I going to get out of it? Give me today my daily bread. God doesn't mind answering that part if you got these other parts in the right order. Issue is, do we trust him? John 12, verse 26, Jesus says, the people who follow me will follow me, and they will get from me what I get from my Father, because they will blend in to me, to my plan, to my will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:32, and all these things will be added to you. Now, don't get me wrong. Seeking to pursue God's will doesn't mean problemless existence. It doesn't mean trouble. You remember, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. All of a sudden, they had a storm. Why did the storm come? Do you trust my word? Listen to me. Do you trust God enough? Watch this now. That when you obey his word and are in his will and a storm shows up, you can still sleep. It says Jesus slept on the cushion because the storm was simply testing whether they trusted his word and therefore his will. Do you trust his will? Do you trust his heart when you don't understand his hand? When you don't know what he's doing, why he's doing it, why he's taking so long to do it? Do you trust his heart when you don't understand his hand? They've got a campaign on, as you know, to handle this drinking, drunk driving epidemic. It simply says, if you drink, don't drive. What are they trying to get you to do? To take your keys and to give it to somebody who's sober so they can drive you home. Why? Because if you've been drinking, your senses have been dulled and your ability to control things has been lost. They say give your keys to somebody who's totally under control. Well, this world has intoxicated us, and it's caused us to lose our equilibrium. God is saying, unless you God, don't drive. Give me the keys to your life and let me drive the car of your life and take you to where you ought to be. The sound that you're hearing from my voice right now is being controlled up top by a sound booth. The sound man up there with all the equipment is controlling the volume. He's controlling the lights. That's why they were dimmed and brought up. There's a guy down here with headphones on. In fact, the guys operating the cameras right now have headphones on. Because in another room that you can't see is a guy handling the switching from camera to camera to camera to camera. All of that's controlled up there and back there. You sit down here, being able to hear me, being able to see me up here on the screens, because instruction is being given from up there to tell those down here how to make it work for everybody. And everybody down here is benefiting from what's happening up there, because somebody up there knows stuff people down here don't know. If I took you to that board, you wouldn't know what to touch. You wouldn't know what to know. I saw it the first time and walked in the other direction. It's so complicated looking. But the man on the board has been trained to know this button is what you touch now. This button is what you touch now. This button is what you touch now in order to get what you want to have so that everybody can benefit. What I'm trying to say, church, is God knows how the button works. He knows what to turn here and what to turn there. What to twist now, what to twist later. He knew that the brother waiting for the job was waiting for the job. He also knew when the brother was ready for the job that he was waiting for, because God knew when nothing would show up on his record. Now, why God didn't do it earlier, I can't say. All I know is he knows what he is doing. He's been doing it a long time. So when you pray, he says, pray thy kingdom come, your program, thy will be done on earth precisely as it is done in heaven. And when you glorify his name, service his kingdom, and submit to his will, now we can talk about give me this day my daily bread. Because he loves to service those who are servicing him.
I trust you were challenged by this message from the series, The Lord's Prayer. And if you would like to order any additional helpful resources, please contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or visit us online at tonyevans.org. This has been a production of The Urban Alternative, presenting the expository teaching of Dr. Tony Evans.